Do you feel like it's possible to find joy and positive change within veterinary medicine? Are you looking for a community that's striving for fulfillment rather than perfection? Hey there, I'm Dr. Stacy Cordovano. I want veterinarians to learn to be happier, healthier, wealthier, and more grateful for the lives that we've created. On this podcast, I will speak with outside-of-the-box thinkers to hear new ideas on ways to improve our day-to-day lives. Welcome to The Whole Veterinarian. Hey there, I hope you're doing well. I'm really excited to share this episode with you. I got to spend time talking with Dr. Kim Harmon, who is the managing partner at Fairfield Equine Associates. And she and I are talking about how to run and plan for effective meetings. And she leads a huge team at Fairfield Equine. And I throw in a little bit of tidbits from a very small team perspective. So we tried to keep everybody in mind here. And we just felt like this topic was so important and so underutilized in veterinary medicine that we really wanted to share all of this insight that Kim had. It's a bit of a long one. It's going to be a two-parter. So this is part one. Stay tuned for part two. We hope you can take away some really actionable tips from these two episodes. So please let us know what you think and enjoy. Kim and I are members of the Practice Culture Subcommittee, which is one of the five subcommittees on the AAEP's Commission on Equine Veterinary Sustainability. And we are here to talk about something that our group has talked about and found really important, and that is how to run an effective meeting. And Kim has a lot of experience doing this, and I have a very different perspective on the size of practice. So we're excited to dig into this. But first, hi, Kim, how are you?
Hey, Stacy, I'm good. I'm so happy to be here. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. So tell listeners a little bit about yourself, and then we'll kind of dig into the different things we want to share.
Great. Well, like I said, I'm very excited to be here and have really enjoyed getting to know Stacy, serving on our subcommittee together. I'm Kim Harmon. I am a 2007 graduate of Penn. I did a year of internship training at Fairfield Equine, and I stayed with the practice since that time. I became an owner in 2018 and then stepped into the managing veterinarian role in 2020. I'm a wife to a husband of almost, it'll be 12 years this weekend.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And a mom to two great kids, Ben, 9, and Kate, who's 5.
Awesome. I can relate to those ages. Mine are almost exactly the same. It's a busy season of life. So speaking of busy, you guys also have a very busy practice, right? How many employees and things?
Yeah, so we are in the mid to upper 30s at this point. There's always a little bit of flux here and there, sure. But we're at about 36 right now, I'm going to say. We have locations in Newtown, Connecticut, and Wellington, Florida, and Tryon, North Carolina. And we have people moving among those locations, our kind of home base in Newtown. We have a hospital, so we do referral work as well as ambulatory primary care for our clients, mostly focused on sport horse work, but we do just about anything.
Okay, so that's a lot of moving parts to be managing.
And I should mention we have a great internship program as well with 3 interns right now for next year, so adding awesome to our team.
Great, very cool. Okay, so we on the subcommittee discussed how, well, we talk about all things work culture, and that encompasses a huge breadth of topics. But we have all discussed how being involved in a non-productive meeting is one of the worst things that you can do with your time, and how that can affect overall clinic morale. So I'm curious, what makes meetings unpopular? Because we all know that people kind of dread them.
Well, I can speak to what makes them unpopular, made them unpopular for me and made me dread them. in the time span that I've been working with Fairfield, I've seen us go from one end of the spectrum to the other. And so we had really infrequent meetings. So they would be sparse, sporadic, wouldn't always have a clear focus, a clear agenda. So not really sure what our goals were when we sat down. They would not start on time. They certainly wouldn't end on time. So didn't really know what the end point was. And then that would bleed into the rest of my day and delay me. Those were kind of the biggies that made me think like, oh gosh, here we go again.
I know for myself, I was used to be involved with a nonprofit that had board meetings that literally nothing got accomplished. And I'm not even like a super strong D on the disc that like needs to have like a checklist, but like that was so frustrating to not get anything accomplished.
Yeah. So no, I am a D, and that definitely was rough yeah. for me for sure to have feel like we were having the same conversation and not with a clear outline of next steps and where do we go and feeling like we were accomplishing something.
And side note, if you don't know what we're talking about, it's the DISC assessment, and probably is a really important thing to do with your team before trying to run an effective meeting. That's like totally different rabbit hole to go down. But okay, so what makes meetings worthwhile? Why should equine practice owners or, you know, managing directors or whoever is involved in this be concerned with having meetings at all or having good meetings?
Yeah. From where I sit, we had some feedback from our team around communication or lack thereof. And this was based on a survey that we sent out to our whole team. The feedback we got was, we're not getting information. It's not being shared in a timely way. We don't know what's going on. Going back to, I think, one of the pillars of a good culture is around communication. So for us, it was, how do we communicate better with the team in the most effective way possible with a limited amount of time? Like many of us in equine practice, we're on the go. So how do we maximize what little time we have with each other to help do the most necessary communications and try to build the team? So one thing was to improve our communication. Another thing was to improve just our trust with each other and how we chose to communicate and show up for each other to build a better team among ourselves. So how do we use that time to share ideas, gain alignment with each other, and make sure we're all on the same page? One thing that would happen for us is when we did not come together, when we took so much time apart from each other, assumptions would start to be made. So people would get into their own worlds and start thinking things, you know, oh, they said this, or oh, they said that, or no, whatever it was, when those might not be truths. So being able to have a place for us to come together and discuss, it really brought that down, not to zero, but I think it definitely helped to have FaceTime with people.
For sure. I mean, I think that we're going to talk about psychological safety in this discussion just because it's inherently related. But for those that don't know, you know, psychological safety is the idea that you can bring new ideas, bring questions, air concerns in a team setting. And thought behind that is that it helps the whole organization become more progressive and more cohesive. And so one of the main ways to start to increase psychological safety, proven in research, is to have more face-to-face time together. So I think that makes a lot of sense. Okay, so let's dig into the types of meetings that exist, because I think we often probably have meetings that we don't even know are meetings. So I know you have kind of a categorization, and let's kind of go through those.
Yeah. So to your point of having meetings you may not even realize you're having, I mean, we all interact with clients day to day. Those are a type of meeting. So to start off on our list of possible types, a one-on-one meeting is that kind of meeting that we have every day, but also I think can be valuable with the team. I use these for check-ins with our doctors. Our practice manager uses them for check-ins with some of our technicians. It's time that I protect that's blocked off. That's just to talk to that person. So the trap I fell into was, oh, I see them every day. You know, I know what's going on with them. If there's something up, they'll come talk to me. What I realized is, no, they won't. And it doesn't always happen that way. But when I protect that time to sit down with somebody and just say, hey, how's it going? I don't have a lot of prep for these one-on-ones. I don't have an agenda necessarily. I take notes so that I remember to bring things up the next time we get together. It's protected time to just sit down and check in with somebody. How's it going? What do you need? How can I help? Those are kind of the framework questions there.
Great. I think I can imagine some people might push back and say, I don't have time to do that. Or like, how do you fit that in? So I'm going to ask you that.
Yeah, it's a really fair question. Candidly, I have structured my practice such that I am on the road 2 days a week and I have 3 days a week to manage. So I have carved out time and probably more time than an average or some practice owners may have in their day if they're out practicing. Even if it's a half an hour, and it can be virtual too. So something to consider that now that we all use Zoom so commonly, if it's just a Zoom that you can set up with someone, or one of our associates, we grab dinner together quarterly. And that's something about just, it's a casual way to just try to find some time together to touch base. So I think trying to be creative about where you find that time. And I think it's also okay to be really clear with the person you're meeting with to say, hey, I have a half an hour. Like, let's use this half hour, because your time is, as a leader, is valuable too. So being clear with what you can give time-wise to that meeting, it doesn't have to be a 2 hour, it doesn't have to be take 2 hours. Does that help?
It does. And I especially like that boundary around the time. I think that's a great point. I mean, I brought it up because I think if you're struggling with work culture or retention or hiring new associates, and you're also saying, I don't have time to meet with them, like, that should be a red flag. You know what I mean? Like, it is intentional work to lead a team well, and whether that's meetings or just in general. So I think that if you're saying both of those things, they kind of go together, and you almost don't have room to not make time if you want to improve.
Yeah, I think that's the hard truth, right? I mean, it takes time, it takes effort to create these relationships and to build the trust. You got to start somewhere. If it's helpful for people, for our new associates, I'll touch base every 2 weeks for at least the first few months, because they're just getting off the ground. I want to know if something's not right, and a lot can change quickly.
Yeah, that is really helpful to have that benchmark, I think.
Then I check in with them. Do you want to extend the interval? I ask. It sounds simple. Like, are you good with this? Do you want to extend the interval? What's best for you? And then usually at about the quarter mark, we go to, when they've been with us for 3 months, go to once a month. And I've been holding that for at least their first year with us.
Great.
And then, as I mentioned, quarterly with one of our associates, she's been with us for over 5 years. So then usually things are more set.
Yeah, perfect. I like that. I like the time frame. And it's going to be individual. So I think asking your employees is probably one of the more important things. Coming from a small practice perspective, I do one-on-ones kind of all the time, but that doesn't mean that I still don't have to make them intentional. Initially, when my associate joined, we were meeting weekly, Friday mornings, and she's gotten a little busier. I've gotten a little busier. They fell off a bit, and I just realized that I want to start at least every other week something on the calendar, because like you, I see her every day. We check in about cases, but that's not really checking in about how she's doing, what she's needing. Are there things that she wants to change? Things like that. So same goes. And or if you're a solo practitioner and you have one technician, you're in the car all day long, maybe just block off a specific drive time that you're going to talk about something a little bit more than, you know, just what's upcoming that day.
Yeah, I think the key there is we fall into a mode of being transactional. This is what I need. This is what we have ahead of us. This is what's on the daily plan. I need this, that, whatever. It's a deeper question than that. To your point, Stacey, about setting aside time. I love that. Just even if it's in the truck, just how's it going? What do you need?
It also reminds me, one resource that our subcommittee has come up with is education around stay interviews. So actually, you help with that. So why don't you talk a little bit about that resource?
Yeah, Chrissy Schneider helped put it together. Mostly it's a construct around how to have a conversation to get the feedback that we need to keep somebody from leaving in the first place. So to help with retention of the great employees that we bring into our worlds, how do we keep them happy? How do we know about problems before they're too big for us to solve? So it's a nice construct, and I think very user-friendly, not a big lift. You can just take it right from PDF and just walk in and ask the questions. And I think the most important piece is to listen. It's hard for me as a leader. At times I feel defensive of the work that I've put in. So if someone's not happy, there's a part of me that's like, well, wait a minute, what'd I do wrong? So I get the most out of a conversation if I can listen more than I talk, really try to understand and ask questions and stay curious about why somebody might be thinking of leaving our practice.
Yeah. So if you are listening to this and have no idea what to do in a one-on-one sit-down meeting with your associates, I'll link that resource so that you can grab it, because I think that it is, like you said, easy lift. Okay. Next type. We're only on to number two.
Oh boy. Okay. A decision-making meeting is another kind of meeting. So you need to pull people together to decide something so you can move forward. When having these meetings, any type of meeting you have, I think it's a good practice to call out what the goal is of the meeting so everybody knows the rules of the game. So if you walk into a decision-making meeting and people are thinking you're just going to be brainstorming, then the expectation isn't set from the outset. Let people know what the goal is before they're walking in.
Okay.
For us, a decision-making meeting would be our on-call schedule. We get together as doctors, I have a skeleton, and then we got to fill in the holes. Who's going to do what? What do we need? How's it going to work? Let's figure all that out together.
And I think for me as a smaller practice, that happens a little easier. It can almost happen in passing. So one example I can think of for an intentional kind of decision-making meeting is when I get together with my associate and talk about equipment purchases. So can we afford it? How much do we think we'll use it? How long will it take to pay it off? Things like that. Okay. So that's a second kind. What's another type of meeting?
A problem-solving meeting. We have a problem. Let's come together. And in some ways, it's a mix of two kinds of meetings, I think, one being the decision and the other being a brainstorming meeting. You know, you're trying to get to a better resolution. An example that came up for us recently that we're trying to problem solve, we run our fecals in-house on a parasite machine. It came up that some of our technicians were struggling to find the time to run all of the fecals. So they'd come back off the road at the end of the day, they'd have 20 fecals to run. That's going to take at least an hour and a half. If they're coming off the road 5-6 o'clock, that's adding a significant amount of time to the end of their day. On the business side of things, we have a bigger margin from running the fecals in-house compared to sending them out. Yep. So trying to balance, you know, the operational needs of the team with the business needs of the practice.
Yeah, I love that example because it's such a great example of where psychological safety comes into play and how you handle it either slashes the psychological safety of the practice or builds it up, right? So by gathering people together to get multiple different perspectives, you know, technician perspective, office help perspective, veterinarian perspective, owner, you know, business manager perspective, and then coming up with a collective solution using everyone's ideas, like that just bumps psychological safety up so far. And like, you and I are like, okay, profit margin, we have to keep it in-house, but maybe someone else comes up with some amazing idea that combines the two that we never would have thought of. So I think that's so cool. Okay. Fourth type of meeting.
The brainstorming meeting. And I like these meetings. Again, I think the key to success with a brainstorming meeting or an idea sharing meeting is to be clear that that's what it is going in. Mm. And to let people know, okay, we just want to get ideas on the table here. We may not get to a full decision at the end of this meeting, but I just want to have a space where people can put their ideas on the table and let's talk about what could work. The most recent way that I approached this or example on our team was we were getting more feedback that we had a higher caseload in the hospital than we were used to having, and our interns were getting tired, our staff was getting run thin, and this seemed to be happening more and more. It wasn't just a one-off mm-hmm. week here or there. It seemed to be happening more. So got some key players in a room. We included our interns, our staff lead in the hospital, and some practice leaders, and said, okay, you know, let's talk about what the problem. We agree that there's a problem. We agree that there's something that needs to change here, but we may not agree on how to change it. So let's talk about ideas around where the change needs to be. Is there new staff hires? Is there an additional intern? Is there, how do we plug these holes in the best way? Let's get some ideas out there.
I think your point about framing that correctly is really important, because I think if you were going to walk into a meeting thinking you were going to solve that problem and the leadership did not have that goal, and then you left without solving it, it would feel really discouraging.
Totally.
So I think that framing it as just a brainstorming meeting, like not a solutions meeting, is really important. I like that. I don't know that I've ever done that.
I think it gave people, my impression being in the room was it gave people license to talk about stuff. Mm. And that could get us to a better place. Key there is follow-up after that. So like, okay, we took all these ideas. What are we going to do with them? Need to circle back and check in and let people know that action is taking place.
Yeah. And maybe like why their suggestion can't work.
Right.
Or yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's a really important point. Yeah.
And with those brainstorming sessions, especially when we involve people at different, vastly different roles in the practice, there's just, I'm going to call it out. There's going to be a power dynamic. There's going to be, you know, if I'm a leader sitting in the room, if I say my idea first, whether it's conscious or unconscious, some people are going to align with me. So that's going to blind me in many cases to some other ideas that may be out there. And I want all those different ideas so that we can get to the best possible solution. One way that I've tried to engage people, and I did in that moment, was we pass out like note cards mm-hmm. and ask everybody before anybody says an idea, throw your idea on the note card. Before anybody speaks, let's throw an idea on the note card, and then go around and share those ideas. So that way I don't bias the room.
Yeah.
Basically is what I'm looking to try to not do.
I love that. I was just reminded, I was listening to a podcast about giving and receiving feedback recently, and they made this point that, you know, within our practices, there are just inherently different stakeholders and desires. You know, like the front office is really trying to please the clients. Not that they're not also trying to please their boss, but like we all have these different roles. And I think acknowledging that and like making that okay to then throw in all these ideas is kind of important, or at least, you know, that leadership makes that known, that they realize that everyone has slightly different goals. Hopefully the goal is for those same practice values ultimately, but I like the note card idea. I really like that. Okay. Fifth type of meeting.
The team building. These can take a number of different forms, I think. It could be, you may be doing it and not even realizing you're doing it. If you ever do a night out with your team, or if you bring breakfast in for your team, those are team building moments.
Yeah, because I think of like going to the ropes course and like doing team building trust falls.
You can do that too. Make it your own.
That's a big deal though. Bringing breakfast is a way less big deal.
Yeah, well, and I think that's the key too. Like I'm joking about it a little bit, make it your own, but you got to find what works for you. If it's something as easy of a lift as grabbing breakfast for people, or, you know, ordering it in or whatever it is, that's team building. I didn't give this the credit I think it's really due for some time, but there was, from a data perspective, an article in the MIT Sloan Management Review in 2022 that was looking at toxic culture and why people were leaving their jobs. Mm. It's not veterinary specific, but it looked at Glassdoor reviews for hundreds of people. And they looked at what were the drivers to keep people in their roles beyond additional compensation. So, you know, I think one of the things that can fatigue many of us is when we ask our staff, what is it that you want? And the answer is more money. Okay.
Yeah, got it.
What else? What else? Same. What else could we do to move that needle? And what this study found was that had a list of top four things that could be drivers, lateral career opportunities. So being able to change roles without leaving, not everybody wants to be promoted. They might just want a change of pace, remote work arrangements, predictable work schedules. But the last one was company sponsored social events.
Interesting.
I wouldn't sell these things short.
Yeah.
For the value they can bring to help create connection and team.
Certainly some of those four don't necessarily apply to equine practice, mobile work. Well, and that's not totally true. I think we could probably up our telemedicine game. But I remember hearing that and thinking, ugh, I don't know that people want to hang out at the clinic more than they have to socialize. But that probably begs the question, like, is there a way to do it during the workday, right? Like you said, bring in breakfast, everyone's already there prepping their day. Is there a way to have a potluck, close early one day and have a potluck dinner, something like that?
We got feedback from our staff last year that people wanted more social gatherings. Oh. And so we tapped on a couple of our people who were really excited about this to create these opportunities. And then not a lot of people came.
Oh.
So it was definitely a check to your point, Stacey, about like, will they really be willing to come after hours? Our answer was some people will, some people won't.
I guess it would still benefit the people that want to come though, right? Like maybe you're not hitting every person, but you're at least improving engagement for those who do find it beneficial. Like my thought is like, oh, if not everyone comes, it's a failure. But like, is it actually a failure?
I don't think it's a failure if you have some engagement of the team. The people that were there were really happy to be there. Yeah. So that was, you know, good for that crew. And to your point about during kind of daytime, we have some better attended social events that have been mainstays in our practice for some time. We have an intern party to celebrate the end of our internship year and a holiday party. Mm-hmm. So those, they're not very often. And I think that helps too.
Sure.
So we don't try to, you know, have these every week and people fatigue fast of doing them, but having a couple to try to draw as many people in. We also do some more formal team building meetings in our group. One is around, we have an annual engagement survey that comes out. So we have a meeting with our team to discuss the results of that engagement survey, share what that looked like, and get some buy-in for the team around creating specific priorities. It helps, I think, for everyone to recognize we can't fix everything all at once. So to create a top 2 to 3 list of priorities to focus our energy. So we involve the whole team in that.
Okay. So they're involved in creating those top couple of priorities. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
We have one meeting with our Connecticut team, one meeting with our Florida team. They may have different priorities, want different things.
Got it.
Everybody's there. We block out a couple hours. I think we did 3 hours this year to block that out, to come up with that list and talk through the results. And then we also have what we tongue-in-cheek call our mega meeting every year, which is our whole organization. Everybody comes to Connecticut. The first year we did it, it was a half day. Last year when we did it, it was a full day. We get it catered. It's expensive. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of effort, but I think it helps. I really hope it helps.
So like literally everyone from all the different satellite clinics are, that's a big endeavor.
It is. And I've got a really great team that helps me with logistics, which is not a strength of mine to fly everybody in. And it is a big undertaking, but I hope that it's worthwhile. Our first year we created a list of agreements about how we would behave and treat each other as a group, as a whole organization.
I love that.
example, to take care of our home with respect, which means you're going to keep things clean and tidy, take the time to teach new skills was one of them. So again, whole team coming together face to face. I think there is some magic that happens when you get everybody together face to face.
I imagine so. I imagine so. And I imagine not a lot of people are doing that. Even in one location, I would imagine no one's taking a whole day off to do that kind of internal work. So that's amazing. Definitely an inspiration if you guys all can do it. I feel like a lot of us should probably be working harder to do that. Okay. Any other types of meetings we need to discuss?
The only other one I'd call out is the status update meeting, which this I would just caution, if you're just telling people what's happening, consider if it could be an email. I think of a productive meeting when I need there to be or want there to be conversation, a sharing of ideas, a back and forth. You know, if I just need to tell you that something is happening, so-and-so is taking the day off, so-and-so is coming in, you know, if it's just a sharing of information, might be better use of time to just put that in an email.
Agreed. Alrighty, we're going to wrap here for today and start the next episode talking about how to prepare to effectively run one of these previous types of meetings. So we'll cover a lot more actionable info. I don't want to overwhelm you. Stay tuned in a couple of days. I will release part two of this conversation with Dr. Kim Harmon. Talk to you soon. Thank you again so much for the time and energy you share with me. I so appreciate you listening. If you want to find out more from me, check out thewholeveterinarian.com or find me on Instagram at thewholeveterinarian. And if you enjoyed today's episode, please do me a favor and share it with one friend or colleague who you think might benefit. I hope you have a great week, and I will talk to you again soon.